All right, we're ready.
Okay. Welcome to the City of Berkeley Lake Planning and Zoning Commission meeting on February 14th, 2023 at 7:15. It's now actually 7:17. I call the meeting to order. And we'll start with the approval or of changes to the agenda. Is there any discussion on that?
There is a bit of discussion. I think, Lee, you might have suggested a change in order.
That's up to you all. I just, you know, I think that...
No, I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
So I'd like to propose reversing the order of new business.
I'll second.
Okay, any objections? Since there's nobody else here, I think we'll approve that. So with that, we'll move on to the approval of the meetings of the October 25th meeting, which has been sent out to everybody. Are there any changes to that that need to be noted?
None here.
All right. So then I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay. And with no objections, the approval of the minutes of October 25th, they are approved. Is there any old business? I don't think there was any old business, so we can move on to the new business. And since we changed the order, we will start with the PZV 2302, which concerns 498 Lakeshore Drive, variance to expand a non-conforming structure and encroach 29.5 feet into the 40-foot rear setback and increase the building coverage from 20% to 25.63%. And who do we have here for that?
We have Marty Britton.
Thank you. Thank you. If you would step up and introduce yourself to the microphone and then...
Hi, Marty Brenton, 498 Lakeshore Drive. How y'all doing?
Welcome.
By the way, I wanted to say something. Lee is incredible. I can't believe the amount of detail that's in this thing.
Yeah.
It's very organized compared to mine, by the way. I just want to let you know. Good job. So let's go with your form, because the one that Lee made, because it's well organized and easy to follow. So I'm going to go in order of what we have in this form, and then talk about a change that I want to make and propose for March. For the March meeting, it has to do with the rear setback. The rest of the setbacks are staying as stated in this document. Before I get started, I want to let you know a little bit about our scenario. The house got hit by a tree. We lost the garage, three cars. Garage has been cleared. We got a blue tarp over the house right now. Happened July 9th, 7:30 in the morning. George, thanks for the coffee. I appreciate it. And ever since then, we've been in a rental over here in near Sprouts. And our insurance company is going to cut that cord on in August. So we're going to have to be back in this house in August. And so time is of the essence. We can talk about for another day what took so long to get to this point, but nonetheless, we're sort of against the wall. The other thing I mentioned to Lee is that this is like a, you know, as she said, does the chicken come first or does the hen come first or the egg come first or the chicken? So we have to get an architect involved. That's going to be anywhere between 10 and 15 grand before we get that deal done. I don't want to spend that money if I don't have some kind of an assemblance of a volumetric area I can give the architect to get to work on that we all agree on. I know this could be a multi-step process, but I'd like to do tonight is ask for your consideration on some of these variations and table, specifically the one on the rear of the house. In my documentation that I sent to Lee, I had stated that I would get my neighbor Joey's approval of this deck. And when I visited Joey, we didn't have any problem with the, and the main thing for Joey, and I think this goes for everybody listening to the lake, you don't want to mess up views, right? We all want our view. And Joey gave me a picture from his second story windows. And from those images, which I didn't have before I put this application together, my proposed area would definitely mess with his view. So if you approve or not approve of the rear setback as it's currently written and stated and put toward you today, I'm not going to build that out of respect for my neighbors. So I'm come up with a variation of that that I'm going to talk to you guys in March about. The main driver on the setback for the rear of the house, we all know this house is relatively close to the lake, right? The 40-foot setback goes right through the middle of the house as it currently sits. It's about a 20-foot variance currently. I think it says 21, but 2021, what's the difference? It's a lot. And the reason for that is because of the safe shape of the lot. Just you could not build on this lot without that variance. So I believe when the house was originally built, that's why that variance was granted. If the variance existed back then, I'm not sure if it did or not. But what we're trying to do in dealing with the back of this house is we have a western sun and we bake on this western side of this house in the summer, actually pretty much year round. It's just a little less hot in the fall and the spring, but the sun's still in our eyes. So what we were really wanting to do is put in a covered screen porch on there and be able to pull screens down to block that sun when the sun's setting. So that's the whole mission of dealing with the back of the house at all. Other than that, I wouldn't have to deal with it. So let's deal with the other variances that we're requesting on this particular request. If we start at the first page here, it says the applicant proposes to expand the non-existing conforming structure 498 Lakeshore. Plans are submitted with the variance application indicate a 486 square foot screen porch. We'll skip all that part because we're tabling that. The proposed screen, okay, more screen porch. There are additional proposed modifications to the structure, including expansion of the garage and the main house and a reduction in the roof height. Besides the screen porch, the other modifications comply with the zoning standards. However, the addition of the screen porch area and the overall coverage of the house will be increased, thus driving two main variances that we're going to need to deal with, and I'd like to get some guidance from you guys tonight on this. If you look at the second page here that Lee put together, she's got the existing versus the proposed and the net change. And the main thing that we need to look at is under number 8, where it says the table below represents the existing proposed conditions relative to the structure's nonconformity aspects. So one of the things I want to do with this lot, because we have a lot of concrete on this lot, and I don't like concrete. I think you can do a lot better things with building materials we have today. But one of my main drivers in the rebuild here is to try to reduce as much as I can the overall impervious on the whole lot, which will increase the appeal of the lot, in my opinion, and also it'll decrease runoff. But I'd like to add a third car garage. I'm a car guy, like a lot of guys in our neighborhood, and I've never been able to work on a car because I don't have a garage. So in order to do that, I'm adding a garage, as you can see on one of these attachments, but let's just stick with number 8. We're currently at a 2.2% building coverage variance. I'd like to go to 5.63%. But I'm going to offset that with lot coverage, and we're going to reduce our lot coverage. It was at 40.2, a 10% variance. And actually, Lee, I believe I'm going to get that down lower than 9.5. I think I'm shooting for 35. But as it's written right now, it's 39.5. And then the rear setback, we'll table that one. I'm going to take your attention, if you would, real quick. By the way, these pictures are really nice, too. If you look at page 2nd from the last page, since I didn't put page numbers on them. Title says Lake is West of House. If you look in this image here, what I've broken the driveway. We're going to break the driveway up completely, and we're going to go mostly impervious materials to be selected. But main thing is to climb the hill, because we're climbing a pretty large hill going out of the lot to the street. We're going to need some impervious there for the tire track, especially when we have ice and whatnot. But other than that, we're going to try to do impervious throughout the entire driveway. So that's the main driver on decreasing the pervious area. But if you look on this drawing also, when I put this driveway or this new garage where I want to put it, it's closer to the street than it was before. So the overall length of the entire driveway's been decreased by the width of that garage. So that's the main two elements I'm using to drive down the impervious. But with that is a trade-off for the amount of square footage that the house covers on the lot. The one thing that's going in my favor is the house itself right now is a very small house. I think it was 13,500 square feet. And that doesn't include garage, does it? That number?
The 13,000 is for the lot.
The lot area is a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry, 13,503. Yeah, so the house is... So I'm just getting all the terms that I've been dealing with over the last... My gosh, there's a list of them. I got to make sure I'm thinking correct. Yesterday, I kept insisting with Lee that there was the word structure in one of these documents, and it was setback, so... anyway, so what I want to do is I want to add a garage on the front of this, but in order to do that, where the current septic tanks are located, they're right underneath where that garage is going. Now, I would want to put the garage past the septic tank because it would cost a whole lot less than moving a silly septic tank and then bridge over the septic tank, but I've already checked with Gannett County, and they won't let that happen. So what I'm forced to do here is move the septic tanks. Where I'm showing them on this document is the only place I can see to put them that would make sense from a plumbing perspective and a slope perspective coming out of the house. But if we do that, we're going to violate the 75-foot setback rule, which is listed with this dotted line here across the right on that border between the home and the garage. So we're just south of that, and I'm calculating about 12 feet. So that setback is also needs to be dealt with, along with the other two that are under consideration. So that's pretty much what I have to present.
So let me ask a couple questions, Marty. I'm not a septic tank expert particularly. Have you run the concept by Environmental Health?
So great question. That cost me $650 to do that. And I understand Environmental Health has to completely agree with anything we talk about tonight. I understand. And if they nix it, I know I'm dead in the water. Okay. So I understand that. But like I said, it's, you know, which comes first, chicken or the egg? Well, your egg was $400.
Yeah, we're just cheaper, George.
Gwinnett's is 600.
We're a bargain.
You are. You're a bargain. So I just keep going up from there. So I started with the cheapest and figure I'll start there.
And you're going to plan with a grinder pump to pump up to a drain field. Would you redo the drain field lines?
Well, I've got one drain field. I got a 30 feet I got to redo. I've already had banks out looking at it. I've got the drain field mark. You can go over there and see all the purple flags. So we have about 30 feet of the tail end of the field that they snake between two trees instead of doing it correctly, where they have plenty of land up there to put it in. But, yeah, I have to deal with that, too.
Next question. By the way, I commend you on the use of pervious pavers. A bit challenging sometimes to install and maintain and keep clean. There's also some steepness limitations on the use. So you may, when you go through the design process, work with your architect to make sure that you're able to use the right type of pervious material for your driveway.
George, you know I'm an engineer. I'll check everything.
I don't know of any engineers. Just to confirm, for my understanding more than anything else, for tonight's purpose, the variance, first of all, there is no violation of setbacks in the front. The proposed expansion of the garage still stays within the limit. So that the only variances that we're considering tonight is basically rather just building coverage.
The lot coverage?
Yeah.
And septic tank.
So let me just clarify. There's a couple of things going on here. And these requests are, I feel like this is what we do a lot of. The house is a non-conforming house.
Right.
Modification to a non-conforming house requires some kind of variance.
That's correct.
Half the time it comes to you all, and half the time it's an administrative variance request where the change doesn't do anything to increase the degree of non-conformity as it relates to the structure. In this particular case, this house and lot have lots of non-conformities. The lot is non-conforming. It's less than half the size.
Half of what it's supposed to be.
Which there's nothing we can do about that. It's an existing lot of record, so that's not an issue for the owner. But it does go towards the need for these other variances. It is non-conforming with regard to building coverage as it currently is built. It is non-conforming with regard to lot coverage as it currently is built. And it is non-conforming with regard to rear setback as it is currently built. So you are considering a variance to expand a non-conforming structure. And then on top of that, the application conceives of increasing the degree of nonconformity for two of those three existing nonconformities, the rear setback and the building coverage.
But not the rear setback today.
Right.
It's going to make the rear setback worse than it already is.
Today's request? No.
Correct.
Not today's meeting.
Not today's request.
Oh, well, I would not consider any of these requests tonight. I'm looking at this as a holistic application.
Ah, okay.
Its totality.
A piecemeal, isn't it?
I think he understands that, but he's kind of trying to get some guidance from us that could we possibly approve this in the next meeting, if I understood you correctly.
I'm looking for guidance in breaking this down even, because I can get the architect started without that rear variance. I can get her thinking. But I can't even get her thinking on garage, and I can't even go to Gwinnett County right now without some kind of approval that the garage structure is good. Because I won't move the septic tank if the garage isn't approved.
Good question. There are a lot of things you've stated, but the Gwinnett County issue, is that number one for you?
I'm sorry?
To get Gwinnett County.
Yeah, that's my next trigger, because that's a 15-day trigger. That's a 15-day sit and wait. So I got to trigger that thing.
So is it a yes, no from them as far as you're concerned? You either get their approval or you can't do this project at all.
I either get their approval for what I'm doing, or I'm going to have Banks out there, and Banks and I are going to talk to his name, Ryan, and go over options based on this plan. And then at that point, I'll make a decision, yes or no.
Okay.
But I just want to be clear that you all don't have enough information to vote on a variance request tonight.
Right.
No. We don't have a plan
for
which you can vote tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
thank you for that clarifying, because I wasn't 100%.
We don't have a plan that shows what the envelope, the building coverage envelope matters. If the question is regarding building coverage, how much building coverage we're going to matters. And I don't have a plan that shows that, finally.
Lee, I'm agreeing to what's in here, right here. Building coverage, land impervious, and then also, what was it? I'm trying to look at your nice chart.
Well, to be fair, and just, I thought we were clear on this yesterday, Marty. I really thought that this was just a tabling, an explanation for why it needed to be tabled.
Well, that's
true.
Because
we got an applicant that was actually here to be heard first, that yeah. I thought this was going to be a quick 5-minute explanation.
Our insurance company cuts us off and we'll have no place to live as of August 1st. So I suggested to my husband, why don't we get the septic tank issue approved so we can get the architect going and start looking.
Can I, I'm gonna stop you right there. Okay. That was never applied for. So the original application doesn't reference any septic setback. It's not been advertised. They cannot vote on it tonight. They cannot. Legally, cannot do it.
So
it wasn't in the plans? You didn't see it?
It was not in the plans originally. No. The plans that were submitted on January 10th mentioned nothing about a septic tank relocation.
Oh, I see. All right.
Well, that was never discussed. In fact, he reached out to me and said, I didn't know there were rules about the septic tank, the city rules, and there are. So that was not advertised, and if it was in the original plan set, the second plan set, and there have been multiple plan sets, so it's been confusing, but the original plan set, I don't recall saying anything about a septic relocation. If I missed that, I apologize, but I don't think that it did. The second set of plans did reference a septic tank relocation. So I'm kind of, this has been an evolving situation. So
this is not, you said the second set, has there been another set since then?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Janine, we've been talking a lot.
I've been very patient, but I didn't know what number
you're
calling.
But back to your point, both of your points about your living situation. Between now and, I know we're still considering the March meeting, what date it will be. Do we have enough time between now and then for you to get done everything so that, as Lee just pointed out, we have a complete set of documents to consider and vote on?
If I do that, I'm spending 15 grand. And if you say no, when you say complete set of items, you're talking about architecturals, right?
I mean, typically they don't have to see an architectural set of plans. They just need to have a solid site plan, definitive site plan.
What's here is conceptually adequate for me because it shows what you plan to do. But what I need to know is what you show me on a plan is exactly what you are going to do, if approved.
In totality. Okay. So that's what you're saying, right?
In totality.
So the final back deck situation is clear. They can't even discuss the garage or the driveway or the movement, whatever. You need to see it all.
Well, what you present to us doesn't need to have any, well, maybe this or maybe that, if this or that. It needs to be, this is all approved from everybody that needs to approve it except us. And otherwise, we're voting in kind of in the vapor.
I didn't want to vote. I just wanted a conditional discussion, conditional approval. Conditional meaning if the county agrees.
I don't think we can do
this. Legally speaking, that's just not an option. They can't give you any kind of certain answer tonight.
Yeah, I think with that in mind, I think we need to table this for the next meeting and appreciate the information, and maybe we can have some discussions on it. But as far as...
Sorry, one question on his behalf. The county thing, then we have to do all of those and pay all those fees, get that done with the county, and then... City is last, not the other way around.
To be fair, and this is, you know, this is up to you guys, obviously. There's nothing that says that. Okay. It's just that it would be better if they knew that you had approval. I understand the cost and why you might want to wait. I think that the next applicant has done something similar. They've talked to Environmental Health and they don't have a final approval from them. Realizing that is required before I can permit you. So as long as they have a set of plans that is what you want to do, if it dies in Environmental Health, it dies in Environmental Health.
Right.
They can still approve a variance, and then it just gets killed at the Environmental Health level. But they can't give you any kind of wink, wink, you know, this looks good to us kind of situation. That's just not. That's not really acceptable. So, I don't know how you feel about that, but I do think that we can move forward with a plan even if Environmental Health hadn't weighed in, and Environmental Health might kill it.
I mean,
I'm fine with that.
I am too. I mean, if Gwinnett County is the only issue, to if they bring something forward and they're still waiting on Gwinnett, and we approve what they present to us, I'm okay with that as long as we know that Gwinnett County's decision is the ultimate determination of what to do.
Well, she won't be able to make a permit, give them a permit with
right, but they might come. They might then have to come back to us with a different set of plans to get.
Yes. Yeah, that's a possibility.
That's right, and I think there may be a delay. I think that you can't apply. I mean, I'll have to check the code on that, but in a lot of cases, you can't apply for the same
6 months
variance for 6 months. Sometimes it's depending on the codes. Sometimes it's a year.
In each city, it is. Another 6 months.
So. That's why we table it tonight. You don't want to get in a situation where you get stuck. If you go and then you have to make a change, you can't come back for that variance.
Thank you, Lee.
You know?
That makes sense. So we should go to the county and just deal with that, get environmental health involved now. And if they say, well, just go 2 feet to the right, then it's good. Don't you do it? Then we bring them the final approved plans. Is that what I'm hearing?
All along, the requirement here is that what you apply for the variance, is what you build. If you build less than what you apply for, we got no issues, okay? But if anything changes with any of those dimensions that they have considered for approval, if any of that changes...
Changes in a bigger fashion.
It can't. You'd have to come back, and then you'd be stuck because you will have this delay.
I got you. Okay.
Thank you for letting me know about that 6 months rule. That would be really important.
Yeah, that would really... We'd be living in our backyard in a tent for sure.
Well, we have our boathouse you guys can camp out in.
Is that you rent out the boathouse?
I'll be seeing you.
Okay, so I think we're to vote to table this.
Do we need to vote?
Do we?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I move to table this until next month.
A second.
I apologize. Discussion on that one. Is 1 month enough time? Okay. Stays in.
Yeah, I mean, we can table it again next month if it doesn't work out. But all right, so the PZB 2302 is tabled for next month. And we move on to the next applicant. State your name and address, please.
Yeah, sure. Good evening. My name is Carl Leitz, and I live with my wife, Elizabeth, and my two boys. I've got a senior in high school at Wesleyan and an eighth grader at Wesleyan at 586 Lakeshore. We're relatively new to the Berkeley Lake area. We lived in town for a long time, and because of COVID and some other things, we started looking for a new school for my younger son. So we moved out here in the summer of 2021 and started renting a house. We rented a house at 510 Lakeshore, the Updegraff house. And, frankly, was not familiar with the community, fell in love with the community, and pretty much decided we'd like to find a place of our own, buy a house, and just, start living here and become part of the community. We looked at a number of different houses, and we were fortunate enough to find the house that we ended up purchasing at 586 Lakeshore. We purchased it from Rick Smith and Delois in the fall of last year, and it's a really, it's a nice house. They did a great job making the inside of the house nice, and it's a really good spot for us. Like I said, we're a family of four and a dog, and so the house really has a couple issues that we're trying to address to make it more suitable for what we're looking for and to kind of make it our own a little bit more. The first issue is relatively straightforward, but it has to do with the garage on the house. The garage is built well within the setback. I'm assuming it was built before there was a setback, I would assume. And so we looked at relocating the garage. And by the way, this is Clark Tate. He's our architect. So the drawings and stuff that you have in front of you, he prepared those and has all the figures and stuff and can answer questions about anything that we're asking for permission for. But we looked at relocating the garage, but it just wasn't something that was feasible to do for a lot of different reasons I won't bore you with. So what we're trying to do with the garage now is we're trying to take the roof of the garage off and basically change the pitch. The pitch of the roof right now, it's really high. I don't know exactly what the term of it is, but it's inconsistent with the architectural style of the house, and it's kind of imposing. Real honestly, it's right sort of up front. The garage is not located in an ideal place anyway. We didn't put it there. Rick and Lois probably didn't either. But we're trying to take what we have there.
What's that?
Yeah. So we're trying to take what we have with that garage and change the roof pitch to be more consistent with the house. So that's relatively straightforward. The other part of it is we're trying to make the house bigger. We're not interested in a huge house, super large house or anything, but because we have two boys, it's a three-bedroom house right now. It's supposedly a three-bedroom house, and one of the bedrooms that my son is using, you have to walk through his room to get to another room. And there's really not a closet in that room. Fine, we're getting by. It's not a big deal. But we're trying to make it larger. So basically what we're trying to do is, in addition to correct this issue with the garage that we have, we're trying to add an addition to the right side of the house, facing the house. So it's on the right side as you're facing the house. Incidentally, my neighbor to the right, our neighbors are George and Camille Kennedy. We sent them our application that we sent to you all, and wanted them to be able to take a look at it and just kind of see how they feel about it. I got an email from George back on January 23rd. Received, thank you. It all looks fine to me. I think it will really make the house look more architecturally consistent, as well as giving y'all more room. Frankly, I didn't share it with any of my other neighbors. I wasn't trying not to. I didn't think about it because it really just impacts George and Camille more than anybody else. So really what we're trying to do is off to the right side of the house, we're trying to build this addition and add more space. So as we've described it here, a lot of what we're trying to do is tuck behind the existing garage. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And I want to talk about that a little bit in a minute. Before we really looked at the variance option, it's not something that, honestly, I was in favor with, of kind of going the variance route. It's nothing I've ever done before. But we looked at other options that wouldn't require a variance. I think there's other options that perhaps we could pursue. I think the problem with that, frankly, is it would push us down towards the lake more. I think it would be more costly for us. I don't think it would fit in as much architecturally, and I don't know that it would be favorable as it relates to George and Camille's view of the lake. I think pushing down that way. Ideally, we try to tuck it up behind the garage. So that's really where we ended up, which is where we are right now. Now, one of the things that we pointed out is, for the addition that we're proposing, 304, square feet of this proposed addition, would be in the non-conforming area. And we've tried to outline that on this particular page, and shade it in so you could see that. So 304 square feet of what we are proposing is within the front setback. Now, I do want to point out that of that 304 square feet, 240 of it is behind the garage. 64 square feet is off to the right, coming out to the side. So, I mean, clearly some is. Most of it is behind the garage. I think that's something that's pretty positive. But some of it isn't, obviously. We also, apparently Berkeley Lakes ordinances are maybe a little bit different. I don't have a lot of knowledge on ordinances, but some jurisdictions, if the eaves go over the setbacks, then I think that's okay. But here,
it's a drip line.
Yeah. We learned that, so we are seeking relatively minor setback variance because of the eaves. And we've outlined that, too. You can see that, you know, where we put that as well. I don't know, Clark, if you have anything to say or you guys have any questions. I'm not sure, but this is really what we're proposing. So I hope, you know, maybe if you do have questions, we do our best to answer them. But
well, I'll comment on that. These are, you know, very excellent drawings and very clear to depict what you're looking for, what the changes are.
I do want to acknowledge that this is a public hearing, and I notice that there's somebody here that's not an applicant. If you want to, and I'm not sure which application he's here for, but we do need to make sure that everybody in the room understands that they have an opportunity to come up and speak, because it may be that he wants to address this application. I'm not sure.
Sure.
So, are you here to?
I'm here just listening. So.
Just listening. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me echo Pekka's basically a compliment that when I first heard about this particular variance, just kind of a notification that we had an application.
Yes, sir.
I groaned because I thought, wow, you know, house is well known in the sense that the garage is right there in your face sort of thing. I'm usually the most skeptical on the group, and my wife is even more skeptical than me. And so when she saw the plan, we both stepped back, and it's given us pause to think through this. So I want to compliment the thoughtfulness that it went to minimize the nonconformity. Lee, I'm going to ask, is there anything from the city's perspective that we should think about while we discuss this?
I don't think so. Nothing that I would point out, unless you have specific questions of me.
No, not really. At this point, then, I might just go ahead and kind of lay out where I'm thinking to get the conversation going.
Can I mention just one thing, too?
Yes, sir.
First of all, Clark gets the credit for that because we appreciate that compliment. He worked very hard at doing this, and we were trying to buy the Updegraff house, but it didn't work out for reasons I won't get into. But I had Clark come out, and when he saw that house, what he said was that he actually liked the shape of it, so he was going to try to figure out a way. What he tries to do is take what's there and make it consistent with what we're trying to do as an addition. One thing that he taught me about these, and you guys are better at reading these than I am, you don't see the windows and stuff on here that we will have. And you know that. I don't, but that's going to look a lot better in the real world.
It's a solid model to give you a sense of the volumes.
Right.
Here's where I'm willing to be convinced, and here's where I have problems.
Sure.
Generally, I don't like making a non-conforming structure more non-conforming. The fact that it kind of connects the whole thing together, and they've heard me before talk about view sheds and saying this actually enhances that whole view shed in there, so I could probably be convinced in that regard. I have a real issue about creating a new non-conformity on the side setbacks. I know it's just a modest amount, and so part of me wants to ask, would you consider shortening up that expansion? Probably a foot and a half would get you out of the need to even be in the side setback. That's something I'd be willing to consider if we modified this.
When you say shorten, what?
Like, you see the light blue gray? That's the incursion onto the side setback. If you drop down the expansion just a little bit or narrowed it up a little bit, one or some combination of that both, you could probably get by without having any excursion into the side setback. So we're not creating yet a new non-conformity on that side of the property.
Are you talking about
I'm actually talking about this part.
So not this, not this.
Not that.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about that further in discussion, but if you'd like to kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I understand what you're asking. And when we discovered that the regulations for Berkeley Lake required that even the eaves be within the setback, I looked at that. And it just so happens that the geometries of the site, and therefore the geometries of the setbacks, become kind of onerous when you're trying to manipulate the building in that regard. We could pull it back, but that would be pulling back the bedroom. And we'd lose, you know, significant square footage in the bedroom, which is already relatively small. Or I looked at manipulating the roof form, the style of the roof, and maybe not having an overhang at all, an eave overhang. But then that became inconsistent with the roof of the adjacent of the main house, which we're trying to, as Carl alluded to, we're trying to strike a balance of creating a contextually appropriate addition with, you know, providing the space that we're looking for. So I looked at both of those, and both of those could conceivably be done, but there'd be an impact, either stylistically or from a square footage standpoint. And you'd like to think there wouldn't be, just because, you know, it's 6 square feet in both cases. But because that angle is so sharp, when you pull it back, you have to pull it back a fairly significant amount to make it work.
About making it cheaper per square foot to build, then.
Yeah, but is this the encroachment is only as far as the eaves are concerned, right? If I'm understanding the drawing correct, of what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, you know, would be inclined to allow that, because I do think that it serves the not only just the architectural purpose from how it looks, but I think it's a functional question too. You want to have some eaves to, you know, that's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would be reducing the square footage before I change the style of the house. And but like I said, I'm already non-conforming in the front. Mm. Connecting it there, I can almost live with that. But then I'm now creating the non-conformity on this side. I'm not particularly inclined to go for that. And unfortunately for two of you, there's only the three of us here, and I think it requires all three of us tonight to vote.
So are you? Do you have an issue with this? What we call the red area, the non-conforming additions.
Well, it's not only the red area, but it's also salmon area.
I thought I heard you say that you didn't think the salmon area was. For me, the salmon area is not an issue at all, because it's not really changing the practical nonconformity. That's how I see it, personally.
Yeah, so only because of that, I'm kind of okay with
that.
It's like when I'm now, like I said, extending on this way. But, Rand, you've been pretty quiet through the process.
Well, as with Marty's, there's a lot of information here that I've been trying to process through and come down on where I like. I mean, your point was to move this wall back toward the house.
So, you know, I can't do trig in my head anymore. I did that in 11th grade. But if you cut out, I don't know, pick number 2 feet this way, in this area, then you actually you slide the whole expansion down.
You're talking about the depth of it, not the width of the structure.
Well, to get these,
to get rid of these two
eaves. The side setback excursions are right here, these two little triangles. And to get rid of those two little triangles in that area, and therefore at least keeping the non-conforming nature of this project to a minimum, I would say, you know, you can cut out a couple feet there in the bedroom, bring the, you'll slide the whole thing down, and then you should be out of the setback.
Do you know what the width of the eave is now on the existing house?
I do. It's in the, what's on the page, the east-west direction, but in reality it's the north-south direction. That's a 12-inch overhang. And then the overhang on the east-west direction, which is north-south on the page, is, it's significant. I think it's 2.5 or 3 feet. That's just, that's sort of the feature of the house.
So, and what do you have here on the addition? What's the width of this?
The same.
12?
Same ratios. In the north-south, it's 12, and in the east-west, it's I think it's 2.6.
What is this structure here now? Is it of the existing house here?
Existing house.
Yeah, so what is, I mean, is it, I mean, this might be a totally crazy question, but I mean, could this be moved, the whole structure, towards, I mean, could you move this, the new structure here, 2 feet this way here, so kind of lose that 2 feet here?
We could. This is the edge of the existing house.
Right.
That would be somewhat destructive to do that.
You would actually reduce the width of the expansion at that point.
What are you going to be once this is completed? What does this look like on the inside? Is there going to be access from there to there?
Yeah, right now there's just two windows here.
Right.
And that's the edge of the house, and that'll be opened up, and so this will be just a clear.
Right. So you're going to open this up. So yeah. So that.
Right.
From that perspective, I don't know what the cost or anything like that is, but right. I'm saying that from a functional perspective, you'd really only reduce. What is this space? Is that going to be part of this whole area, or
this will remain an entry vestibule, but it'll flow into this space?
That's where you walk in the front door.
Right.
Yeah. So that conceivably, but you know, what my question would have resulted in, if this wall was moved this way to where the vestibule would become 2 feet smaller.
It's a good point. You know, you'd lose the symmetry of this window that lines up with the door because this wall would be pushed over.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, from a construction standpoint, you're offsetting the load on the footing. The footing is under this wall. And
yeah, it might not work. I mean, it's just...
So that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Is it the basement? I've been in the house several times, but I can't remember.
It's a lower level.
Yeah, it's not much of one. It's one part of it. It's where the hot water heater and stuff is. It's a dirt floor.
Went to a Derby Day party there once.
But of course, I mean, what you're saying here, that, I mean, to even if you moved it a little bit this way, you'd still end up with this.
You're going to still have that encroachment. I'm still pondering on that.
Yeah, so that's...
So just to be clear, you were suggesting getting this point and moving it back to this point.
That's what he was asking.
Yeah. And it just seems like it would be simple to do, but you'd be taking this amount out of this bedroom. Obviously, you'd have to reconfigure the interiors.
You'd have to shift your interior walls back toward the garage to give the space you want.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, the very fact that you did something that actually doesn't impact the view shed very much and makes this feel like the house that it should have been, kudos. Like I said, I can swallow this part, but because we're already in a non-conforming situation, I can't swallow us creating yet another non-conforming situation on the other, on the side setback.
What if you angle those two corners?
Well, that would be the simple solution. It would just be aesthetically.
Yeah.
This might be a non-conformity, but it'd be aesthetically consistent with what the house should be. That would make it a conformity, but then become aesthetically odd.
Yeah.
But it would be that. That's what we would do, probably.
I mean, I personally have no issue with these things. I think it's ridiculous to, you know, cut the corners there to just to meet the letters of the law type of thing. what you're saying, the principle of adding nonconformity to a nonconforming, that I can appreciate. Not with these areas. I mean, if this wasn't here, I would have no issue whatsoever with these. But this, I can see that you would have a, and I would say I have no issue with this, you know, closing in the area that is already nonconforming to all the nonconforming. So to me, the question really is only this, you know, red and blue in this corner here. That to me is the only thing that I would have any issue with. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't approve even that, but I would approve the rest of it. That's what I would think.
So one of the benefits of having people of independent minds on this board, you cover a whole view of perspectives.
Yeah.
So, Pekka, I appreciate that. But no, like, and
I'm
for
just
me,
voicing my yeah. opinion, and I think the logic behind it, because I'm agreeing with your logic of that it's a problem to add to nonconforming, to nonconformance. That's the principle that I think is absolutely correct. I would not, you know, stand by that principle for these things.
But by the way, I wasn't suggesting that you do angle those corners. I just was asking if that's what it took to get this through, could you do it?
Yeah.
I have no issue. Like I said, I don't have issues with those two corners. I mean, that's not what the nonconformity issue was ever created for.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah.
And as far as the things behind the garage, I don't have a problem with those either.
And are you including the statement, the red part for that in that statement?
Well, I think the simple answer is yes, because I've been by that house hundreds of times over the years, the only thing I ever see is the garage. And sometimes I even look, when Rick and Dolores lived there, I'd look kind of back. After I got past that, I'd look back and say, well, are they here? Because all I could see was the garage.
I mean, I don't think any one of us is of a different opinion that the what it would look like after these changes is an improvement to what we have there today. That's not, you know, the basis for, you know, fundamentally the basis for the decision.
We are trying to make it look better, because I mean the best example of that I think is the taking the roof off of the garage.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going
to be a cost to us. That, I mean, we don't need to do that. We're really trying to create something in the end that looks better for us and everybody else.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't think of you as crazy if you wanted to spend that money to just make it look good for you. Because I think it's such a big improvement, personally.
So what happens if... looks like that. 64 square feet. Is there building space under it? Is this just a one level
that's
here?
One level. Okay.
Your Eve comment makes sense. I mean, it's another nonconformity, but I think it's relevant to bring up the neighbor's assessment of it, and it didn't bother him. That shouldn't be the only criteria to consider, obviously, because it might bother someone as they move in, but...
Plus, we can't.
Why?
We can't.
Right. But he was comfortable with it.
So, the ridge of the garage as it currently exists, how does it compare... this roof height.
The last page, we put this
ridge overlay.
Here's an overlay on the back page.
So the ridge is higher than
two and a half feet, something like that. And as you pointed out, architecturally, it doesn't fit the rest of the house.
Strange decision.
I wonder if they did it for storage, do some attic storage in there, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that also, you know, not a very functional thing to do, but that would remove that nonconformity from there. But my vote wouldn't insist on that, but I don't know, my vote probably doesn't do much here.
It is what George said. I mean, it has to be unanimous.
It has to be unanimous right now, yeah.
Because there are just three of you. That's right. It takes a majority of the commission, the entire commission, to approve something.
So did you consider staying in line with the front of the house?
In other words, doing maybe something like that, you're saying?
I thought I saw you having drawn that, and I thought if that's what you would, what would make you...
Is that what you're asking?
Feel that it's less nonconforming.
No, we hadn't considered that because we wanted to create what a lot of people call a great room. And in order for it to get great, it had to have more square footage. But it's...
Well, no, I understand. And I understand the lots in Burke Lake all slope toward the lake. So when you go back, you add cost.
Right.
Because I did the same thing when I did this, came to the PNC myself.
Yeah.
But, you know... If you're looking for a way to get this done and move on, there may be something to consider. I don't know how George feels, that might get you there. If that is a sticking point that makes him vote no, then for now your project is dead.
Right. And I actually don't want that to happen. That's why we're trying to work, you know, with the spirit of conformity and nonconformity. As a matter of fact, if this can be done, you know, maybe that would alleviate my concern on the other side from, again, visual view shed continuity. Because as it stands right now, I would vote no because of the whole thing. But if we can work through this and modify the request tonight, we can move forward with this project. That's something acceptable that makes sense, and acknowledging the effort that went into this as it stands already. And I heard from my other colleagues here that you guys are actually more concerned about this. I got the sense that you would probably vote yes either way, but if you were to be concerned, it'd be the
red area.
The red area.
Yeah. That's
well, I'm,
yeah.
I'm just accepting your perspective, not that it influences me, but
right.
Your perspective.
But I think you're right in how you're interpreting our views on that, that we would be inclined to accept this. But obviously, if you can find, and I think this discussion of what could be done, I think is very important, because we've always discussed that we should try to do whatever we can to avoid the variance, the need for a variance. And if there is no way, then, and it's acceptable, then we approve them.
Right.
But I think the effort that, which I also think that I think there's been a lot of effort done already in trying to minimize the impact of the nonconformance that already exists. And there's improvements to the current nonconformance as far as the height of the building and what it looks like, the garage building and the eave structure. So I think there's been a trade-off done already in, you know, we're making the nonconformance better by this aspect, and then we're adding some slight nonconformances back here. To me, that's a fair trade-off, and that's why I would be inclined to accept that.
You suggesting taking that square out, that red square?
Either that to reduce the visible non-conforming addition area and to actually reduce the amount of non-conforming you proposed, or just, you know, kind of the whole set, you know, we keep on chipping away at our setbacks, and it's beginning to show around the lake. And in turn, I've been here 23 years now, and you see, encroachments that I've been party to agreeing to them, but the end result is it begins to look less that in that North Georgia lake, in the summertime, that where you can't see any of the houses, to basically seeing the houses because that's all that's left, and kind of diminishes the very appeal of why we've all moved here.
I don't think that this change reduces the visibility of the lake. If anything, it might even improve it. So I want to reiterate that from my perspective, there are some, as far as the nonconformity, there's some takeaways and there's some additions. I think the net is acceptable.
And from my perspective, I want the net to be a little bit more in favor of less nonconformity in that regard. I hate to put both architect and homeowner on the spot, but what is there that you feel to get this project moving forward?
Well, I definitely want to get it moving forward, but I want to create something in the end that we're most proud of.
Right.
And that Rick and DeLois would be proud of, and that my neighbor George would be proud of. And so, I mean, we probably could make concessions, but to me, I'm not an architect. If you cut that out, I think that would look odd, personally. I don't know if George would feel the same way, but just be kind of how this is giving my honest reaction to it. And I appreciate the discussion. I really do, because you're trying to work with it. I appreciate it.
Well, George, you mentioned earlier that you, without committing to anything, you said you could generally get comfortable with this area, mm-hmm. but this was a bridge too far, sounded like.
Yeah, it's almost like it's that last straw of camel that broke the camel's back.
Right. In your opinion, if we did chamfer these roof edges, would that make it acceptable?
Not doing any excursion, no variance for side setback. I could live with it.
I mean, we need to discuss what the routes are, but I'm just trying to understand what your position is.
My view would be, however you do this, on the setback, just as long as there's no excursion or incursion into the setback, I can live with the rest of the balance trade through here. So the reduced height of the garage, as noted, and the visual continuity that occurs in the front works.
But, I mean, isn't this a setback in the encroachment area here, too?
Well, all of this is...
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. But they were asking that if you get rid of these two, would you be okay? Did I misunderstand that question? Is that what they were asking?
Yeah, I think that's what they're asking. Yeah. They're saying, yeah, we can, stop the variance, the excursions into the setbacks.
Into that direction.
In that direction.
Then you could accept this direction.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
My preference would be, to avoid all of the visual excursions, but I think the aesthetics would make it something that you'd be cursing me every day of your life that you lived at this house, because it would look probably weird.
Well, I think that would be true of this, but I also think it could be true of this, but that.
I'm counting on your creativity.
Randy, do you have a position for?
Actually, as I said earlier, the corner issues are not an issue to me, and I was only looking for a way to make them acceptable to George. And as far as this area right here, I really don't have an issue with it. Nonconformance, understand what it's for, and you're trying to keep the blockage from the street views and across the street views. I just, like I said, I've been by that lot many, many times. I don't see that as going to, I mean, you can't see the lake from the road anywhere on that, in front of that house. So I don't see that that.
But there's no practical impact, is what you're saying.
There's
really no practical issue. So the solution that you're looking for is just to meet the formality.
Law's the law.
I've already stated. I'm actually, the more we've talked and what you're saying about the actual practical impact of that, the more comfortable I'm with what has been presented here. But I think my vote is already known. So. All right, are we going to work on this anymore, or we're just going to vote then on this?
Is
there more discussion?
The thing is, we'd have to make a motion to approve the modification of no excursion into the side setback.
I need to think about that with him. I mean, we spent a lot of hours working on this.
We can also make a motion to table it. Because if we do make a vote right now, then, and it's no, then it'll be another 6 months.
If it's yes, and they decide we want to tweak it this way, they're stuck that way too.
Yeah.
So if we table it, then it can be brought up at the next meeting.
Correct. Yeah, and it might give you the time to think through the options and then come back and
And if you could describe the requirement for a yes, it's not a majority.
It's the majority of the commission. So there are 5 commission members, and it takes a majority vote of the full number of the commission. So 3 of the 5 have to vote in favor of an application for it to pass forward.
But we're not sure. You have to have 3 here to even have the meeting.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. So we'd essentially need 1 more yes vote.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct, yeah. So I think that kind of clarifies what is worthwhile doing at this point. So can I move to table it, or does somebody else have to do that?
I got it for one of the non-chairing people to do.
We can't convince you tonight, George. No? Those eaves are bugging you?
It's kind of a principle thing. Like I said, we've been, for 20-plus years, we've been eating away at all these variances, have been eating away at the setbacks. And like I said, I'm beginning to see the impacts of 20 plus years, so that's the stance. And I do apologize for having to maybe bring you out another month, but as this thing.
I'm going to be out of town the next meeting. I already checked the meeting date.
So we are actually, this may be helpful to
you. I'm going to be out of town the 11th through the 18th.
So the chair is already looking to bump it to the 21st. So. There is that.
Not me, the permanent chair.
You guys going to be at the next meeting?
Yes.
I know that tech is a maybe, but it looks like we've got 4 committed to be here on the 21st. So.
Do we have the opportunity to discuss, Carl and I?
Yeah.
Right now, you mean?
Right now?
Yeah. I mean,
as long as we have the meeting open yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
that's where the nonconformity is.
We appreciate the time and the consideration and the back and forth. We're going to, I guess we're going to wait and table. We have no objection to tabling it, if that's okay with y'all.
Well, very good. Okay. I move that we table this until the March meeting.
Second.
Okay, so we've tabled this issue.
Thank you. So,
thank you, Lee, for everything.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
He's a government employee. I managed to spend a lot of time and accomplish nothing. My job is done as a government employee.
Okay, so then I guess we ask for any citizen comments. And if there are none, is any discussion that you guys want to have? If there's not, then we can move to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Second.
And the meeting is adjourned.
No, when I heard that guy say he just wanted to sit.